I used to think star power, celebrity, was for the select. You either had it or you didn't. It was like Tyler said.
We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off.
Usually I'm with Tyler, but I think in this case he was wrong. Commitment, 100% commitment towards an effort creates magic. It makes someone extraordinary. Back in the day, we had talked about this concept of heat on one of our podcast episodes. Heat is a Hollywood term that describes someone with a certain star power, je ne sais quoi, just something about them, a sense of aura, delight, majesty. And we used to think that perhaps heat is this etheric quality that's only available to a select few. You know, you're either a star or you're not. You either got it or you don't. And now I've come to realize and come to believe that actually star power, heat, it's available to so many people. It might be available to all of us. And for any guy out there who feels invisible in the world, feels like you don't matter, it seems like the strivings that you have or the direction that you're looking for is just not coming to you, I sincerely believe now that you could be him. You could be that guy. But to get there, you've got to have commitment. You see, each of us has that potential inside us to be the leader, to be the person with heat, to be that guy, to be him. And in this video, I want to talk about a few concepts that I have been thinking about as I close out this last season and kick off a brand new year in 2025. Becoming him is just a schedule and a process. So there is a schedule that will allow you to be the most epic version of yourself. And in any given season of my life, that changes just slightly. But I now have come to realize that if I devote myself fully to my schedule, and if I do the things that are on my schedule as best I can, then great things happen as a result. When I was working on River Rats Part 1, there were so many shoots that I didn't want to go to. I just didn't want to try because I didn't know how the logistics would play out. I didn't know if we were prepared enough. I just didn't know if this thing I was pursuing would generate any meaning. Same with the Iron Man. I would say perhaps for the first month and a half of trying to attempt the swim, I would find myself muttering under my breath that I'm just terrible at swimming. There's no point to this. I'm not going to be successful. It felt like no progress was being made. But I made a schedule and I gave myself a commitment to do certain things at a certain time of day. And eventually I was able to cross that line. Eventually I was able to get to the other side of that. When you have an ambition, there is a schedule that is tied to that ambition. And it could be anything at all. Anything you want to pursue, there is a schedule that you need to try and honor on any given day to live up to that ambition. If you want to be a YouTuber, at some point you have to sit down and record a video. Whether you feel like it or not, you have to make the attempt to get the right words out there. If you want to be a director, at some point you got to sit down and you got to write, or you got to pre-production, you got to hire talent, you got to do something when the schedule demands to move you to the next leg. So what is it that you're working on in this season of your life? If you don't know, take a look at what the last 3 months have brought you and ask yourself, what has given me a return on investment in these last 3 months? What in this last iteration of time has shown me any kind of promise? Now, how can I build upon that? How can I demonstrate greater commitment? Just to give you an example of how I'm breaking this down into my own life, my direction right now is working on River Rats Part 2 and attempting the Ironman 73 for a third time. I've done that race twice now and I've DNF'd twice. There will not be a third DNF. I'm going to figure out all three legs of the race in this next season of my life. Same with River Rats. I need to figure out a way to promote the first iteration, get funding for the second part, and complete Part 2 by April of this year. And so as scary as it is, there's a schedule that I need to work on, that I need to live up to day in and day out to honor that. That means that for most days my schedule will demand 2 workouts a day, swim sessions, bike rides, strength training, running. For River Ads, I gotta write regularly. I need to set up meetings and talk to my co-writer, Brian Griffiths, to work on the next iteration. But I can promise you this, I will live up to those new demands. I will live up to that new schedule, and you will see me put in the work day in and day out to get to that result. What is that schedule for you? How do you need to structure your day to pull out the best from yourself? Do an exercise where you sit down one evening and before the commencement of the following day, ask yourself if you were the best version of you, if you were your ideal self, what would the following day look like? You could be a really feeble person. I mean, you could be completely useless. You could have low self-esteem, low self-worth, whatever it might be. Even for your own current positioning, you have potential, right? There's something you can do. There's a way you can structure your life that following day that will have meaning, that will have significance. So write down what that is, and then just for one day, try to live up to that in full. For one day, give it your all to live up to the bounds of that schedule. And I promise you, when that day concludes, and if you really do give it your all, you will be transformed within that day. Wallace D. Wattles wrote The Science of Growing Rich, and perhaps the most profound line in that book is this idea that one should do all that can be done each day. It's crazy how happy you feel when you give it everything you got. Every day, you go all in on every single day. You don't treat that day lightly. You don't treat it as something that you just have to get through. You don't treat it with some sort of level of complaint or anything like that. No, there is gratitude for our existence. There is a gratitude for life. And if you approach that day with that mindset, you will become that guy. You will certainly become someone worthy of admiration. And you'll have that effect, that spotlight effect on you, where people take notice of you because you just went that hard. The second idea I want to talk about in this video is get an in-body scan done once a week. An in-body scan is sort of like a more imperfect but quick way of getting a sense of your body's composition. Where if DEXAFIT is perhaps the most accurate way to know how much muscle mass you have, what your body fat percentage is, in-body is something that's really quick. A lot of gyms have these machines where you can just hold on to 2 rods and then get your body fat levels tested. For me, my local supplement store has one of those machines and they let you use them for free. The nice thing about these machines is that even though they're globally inaccurate, so if it tells you that you're 13% body fat, you might not actually be a true 13% body fat, but it is relatively accurate. It's locally accurate. So if you were 15% on your last scan and 13% on your next, you can know that at least you have gotten probably 2% body fat leaner since your last testing. And I had put off getting my body fat levels tested for some time, but I went back the other day and I did a scan and it was good to get a gauge of things. According to the machine, my skeletal muscle mass is 82.7 pounds and my body fat percentage is 13.5%, which is on the higher end for me in this season, in this era of my life. And it just, you know, put things into perspectives. It gave me a relative understanding of where I was at with my body composition. It gave me an understanding of how seriously or not seriously I've been taking my diet these last 8 or 9 months. And the result of that, I've lost some muscle mass. I've gained a little bit of body fat. But having done the scan, I now feel determined and motivated to sharpen things up, to clean up my diet as much as possible. And the funny thing is, when you simply measure something, just taking note of the metrics makes you improve in that area of life. So if you just pay attention to something, I don't know, if you just look at your body fat levels once a week, naturally you'll find yourself getting leaner. It's kind of crazy. But if no matter what the scale says, if you just break past the mental hurdle of having to judge yourself and like, oh my gosh, I've been off my diet. I don't know if this is going to be a good result or not. I don't even want to know what's on the other side of this. If you just go in and get your levels tested, you find that just knowing where you're at puts you back on the right track. And the reason I emphasize leanness so much is because I really think how lean and how muscular and how fit you are, it's not everything. Certainly it's not everything. It's only one component of a fulfilling life, but it sort of tells you how organized you are in total in your life. It's really hard to be super lean and have like a disorganized, messy life because it demands such calculation. To pay attention to your diet so thoroughly and to always be really, really on top of your training, to be on top of what you're eating, to never have that component of your life be super off, you have to be extremely mentally organized. And you have to sort of cut things out of your life that are not good for you aesthetically. And so this is an area of life where anyone can invest. You know, everyone can invest into their aesthetics, because really, if you do the right things, anyone can get lean. You know, it's not like other domains of life where you need some God-given talent. You don't need God-given talent to be super lean. You just need to follow the discipline of what being lean and muscular and fit and athletic, what those principles are. And if you do those things, you'll sharpen up. And as far as becoming that guy, becoming him on the physical plane, on a physical level, nothing will make you more striking. Nothing will make you the most handsome, attractive, dignified version of yourself than having as low body fat as possible. I would say between 9 and 12% on an in-body scan, which probably tends to grade you a little bit more generously. Anywhere between 9 and 12% body fat on an in-body scan means you're probably doing pretty well. The lowest I ever got to was 10.8%. And I just remember in those 2 months of my life where I was at, you know, around 10.8%, I looked great. My skin was extremely taut and tight, and my jaw muscles really showed up all the time. I looked way better on camera. I looked better in photos. And even though I wasn't super, super muscular, I just looked really striking. I'm trying to get back to that. And on a physical plane, really, fashion, wardrobe, hairstyling, those are all great things, but nothing will make you stand out more than getting those body fat levels really low. And to put yourself on the right track for that, just go get your levels tested. Just go get a scan done. And unlike DEXA, where you have to pay like $120, you can do this really quickly. If you do it once a week, within 3 months, you'll probably be at a really, really great place. Principle number three, your online presence is your portfolio. Pick your platforms and show your work. It's the hardest fucking thing to get yourself to show your work, to share your process, because process is messy. Working on anything that matters, that's difficult, it's messy. Learning to code, you know, going through job interviews, it's messy. Getting your finances in order, even getting your house clean, it's messy. Training for a marathon, that's really messy, man. It's difficult. A lot of the things that are worth chasing in life, they're difficult. And we sort of spin in circles in pursuit of those goals, because as soon as things get tough, we ourselves get psychologically very confused. And so we stop. Or we don't know what the next step is. The beautiful thing about the world and marketing turning towards content, which effectively means all businesses being forced to turn into content creators, is that it forces you to share your process. It's here where I want to give a quick plug for my YouTube coaching program. This is something that I've been running for 2.5 years now. The last probably 2 months, I've taken a little bit of a hiatus from starting up new cohorts of the coaching program, because I wanted to focus really hard on finishing the first iteration of my film. But with River Ads Part 1 out, released into the public, we are starting up a new cohort of just 4 people, group in January. I think what I like about with my way of YouTubing or Instagramming is that I'm very big into authenticity. When it comes to making content, you can either research and write book reports and put things out there that'll just work but aren't really related to who you are and who you really are inside. Or you can continually investigate what your life demands from you, who you are, what you need to be doing, where you're at, what things mean, and work on yourself by which the script comes out of you. I've been doing YouTube for 6 years now, and that's the form of content creation that I have ultimately arrived at. It is internally driven. It is explored from within. And as a result, everything that comes out ends up being the truth, which is really powerful in a world where there are more content creators than ever. It's hard to not let your signal get lost in the noise. So the only way to really make something definitive is to have it be explored from within. Because growing a personal brand, it takes time. No matter who you are, it does take some time. But if you are exploring your ideas from within, you're asking yourself, what do I need to be working on right now? And then you find a way to document and create content from that, the whole process becomes very synergistic. With my YouTube channel and with my Instagram, I like to share process, even when it's ugly. I share the fact that I DNF'd my last race because I got a flat tire. I share the fact that I have sucked at swimming for so long. I share every behind the scenes of River Ads and, you know, how we're editing things together. I'm not precious with it. I don't hide the process. You should not be precious with your process. In fact, you should show the ugliness periodically, because that's what gets people invested in the story. People will care about your story, not because you're perfect. They will love you because you're willing to show the ugliness of the process. They will love you for your commitment to that. You gotta find your platforms. The world has gotten too modern and too prolific online for you to not have a presence. This could be in so many confines. If you wanna get more dates, if you wanna get a girlfriend, If you want to find the love of your life, you should have a digital presence, because that future partner of yours isn't going to know anything about you if you don't document the journey online, if you don't share the process online. Even being super lean, having abs, being super handsome, it's not enough to make someone care. People will care about you when the story is good and the story is told iteratively. The story is told throughout a process. So you got to document the journey online. If you want to see how I do things, you can follow me on Instagram at nrajapandey. I consistently only share the behind the scenes of the process that I'm working on most recently. And I suppose this YouTube channel is also the perfect testament to process, commitment to process. Here's how it looks. Here's what I'm working on. Here's how it's going. You can't be that guy if there isn't an audience to see who that guy is. You can't be him in a vacuum. And so you need to cultivate a presence online and work from there. The last idea I want to share on this is the idea of visualization. It was Marcus Aurelius who said that our lives are colored. Our soul takes on the colors of our thoughts. So our thoughts must be conducive to the results we want. And you got to do everything in your power to keep your life as high vibration as possible, to keep yourself in an inspired state where you're moving forward, where you're excited, you're energetic, you're working towards things that you care about, and also to just like visualize these results that you want. If you want a six pack, visualize that six pack every day. One thing I'm working on in 2025 is using my film project to get myself a Hollywood agent. Finally, after 7 to 10 years of trying to do so, finally using my portfolio to get an agent in like the top 20 agency agent in the industry. I'm visualizing these results day in and day out. Even when it feels impossible, you got to just see yourself doing the work. You got to see yourself visualizing the process. A lot of great men or people who were at their prime, they were at their peak for a while. When they were at the height of their efforts, the height of their career, they would talk about visualization all the time. I'm thinking about Conor McGregor. When he was first having his climb to power, he was rising up. He would visualize all the time. He'd be like, okay, I visualized this fight. This is exactly how the fight is going to go down. This is how I'm going to win. Michael Phelps is super famous for his just like consistent mental rehearsal, getting himself to that state. So use visualization. If you can't find hope in external reality, you can't change external reality right now, just start in your mind. It's like you're being paid to daydream. And you're being paid to daydream with heart and violence. Just get after it. Believe it. Tell yourself that you can do a thing. Tell yourself it's possible. And it will be. I was so inspired by the commitment I saw on screen in A Complete Unknown. Project like that, I just feel so far away from. And yet at the same time, I know that if I do what I'm even telling you to do here, it'll keep me on that journey. It'll keep me on that path. For those of us who stay on that path, who keep working towards our visions, we visualize, we commit ourselves to the schedule and the process that is demanded of that schedule. To us, I say, greatness is coming. We'll catch you next time.